Welcome back to FraxBiz.com. I'm Ashley, your host, and today we are synthesizing the entire Mazur versus Charles Russell Speechley's regulatory saga from the initial court decisions through the Legal Services Board's post-mortem report all the way to the ongoing public war of words between Silex and the LSB. Let's quickly set the stage. Back on the 16th of September 2025, the High Court dropped an absolute bomb on the legal sector. The court ruled that unless an individual was personally authorised or statutorily exempt, they could not conduct litigation even if they were working under the direct supervision of a qualified solicitor. Overnight, the core operating model of high-volume legal work, personal injury, debt recovery, consumer claims was thrown into panic. Firms frantically pulled paralegals and chartered legal executives off active files. People faced demotions, loss of fee-earning status, and forced early retirements. Then, on the 31st of March 2026, the Court of Appeal stepped in. They allowed Silex's appeal and restored common sense, ruling that unauthorised staff can conduct litigation on behalf of an authorised person, provided there is proper direction, management, supervision, and control. Crisis over, right? Not even close. Because on the 27th of July 2026, the Legal Services Board, the umbrella oversight body, published its final report. And what that report exposed wasn't just a legal debate, but a complete breakdown in regulatory oversight. The most damning finding in the LSB's report centres on what happened back in 2022, 3 full years before Mazur ever hit the courts. In 2022, the Solicitors Regulation Authority was consulting on its updated supervision guidance. Silex Regulation CRL explicitly warned the SRA that across the sector, firms widely assumed unauthorised staff could conduct litigation under supervision. The SRA responded by saying, no. The Legal Services Act 2007 does not allow unauthorised staff to carry out litigation under supervision. They can only support an authorised person. And the SRA put that strict reading straight into their published guidance. Here is where the system completely broke down. CRL did not adopt the SRA's strict stance. They published their own guidance, taking a subtly different approach. Consider how absurd that was in practice. Roughly 75% of chartered legal executives work inside SRA-regulated firms. You had two different regulators overseeing fee earners sitting at adjacent desks in the exact same law firms, operating on fundamentally opposing interpretations of primary legislation. Did either regulator escalate this massive statutory conflict to the LSB for a binding decision? No. Did the LSB proactively step in? No. They simply let the divergence drift until a third-party action blew the whole sector apart in 2025. But the LSB's Section 55 investigation uncovered something even worse than poor communication, a total lack of regulatory data. When the LSB demanded evidence from frontline regulators to see how widespread supervision risks actually were, several bodies essentially admitted they had zero data. The Intellectual Property Regulation Board admitted they didn't collect data on whether patent and trademark attorneys were conducting reserved activities. To answer the LSB, they literally had to phone their insurance broker to make an educated guess based on claims reports. The Bar Standards Board identified 700 barristers in SRA firms without litigation extensions, but held no data on whether those barristers were actively conducting litigation. Qualification frameworks across CIPA, BSB, IP Reg, and SRA actively required trainees to log experience conducting litigation under supervision to qualify instructing junior staff to perform tasks. The High Court later declared potentially illegal under Section 14 of the Act. That brings us to the latest development. Following the LSB's report, Silex Chief Executive Jennifer Coupland publicly launched a blistering attack on the LSB. In the Law Gazette, Silex claimed the LSB failed too, missing a decade of opportunities to fix the framework, and accused the watchdog of being cold and insensitive to the human cost paid by legal executives. Look, let's be direct here. This public finger-pointing is completely unhelpful. Trading public accusations between representative bodies, frontline regulators, and oversight watchdogs does three things. It destroys public and professional confidence in the legal system. It ignores shared responsibility. The LSB, SRA, and CRL all held pieces of this puzzle and all fail to resolve it. It distracts from giving practitioners clear, unified guidance on how to run their practices today. And frankly, Silex's outrage conveniently glosses over frontline failings specifically at Silex regulation. While Silex hits out at the LSB for being insensitive, let's talk about what happened on the ground during those dark months following the 2025 High Court ruling. When legal executives were facing demotions, suspended fee earning rights, and potential redundancies, CRL chose to restrict and effectively shut down direct communications with legal executives. The average wait to resolve matters for individuals was over 10 weeks. While legal executives desperately needed fast-track practice rights and clear answers on whether they could sign court documents, CRL went quiet. Fast-track applications stalled, administrative bottlenecks formed, and practitioners were left completely in limbo. It is hard to take high-minded lectures on human costs seriously when your own frontline regulator went dark for nearly 3 months while its members' livelihoods hung in the balance. Even today, post-appeal, we are seeing old habits resurface. In their updated post-appeal guidance, CRL framed supervision around case complexity. Meanwhile, the SRA framed its supervision guidance around case risk. If you are a practitioner handling a routine case with high financial value, CRL's guidance suggests light sampling, while the SRA's suggests close oversight. That friction creates real operational risk for firms and does nothing to deflect from those advocating for a single regulator. The LSB has now laid down mandatory actions. Regulators must align their definitions of proper direction and control. Draft guidance on reserved activities must be shared across bodies and escalated to the LSB if there's any disagreement. The LSB is auditing other reserved areas, probate, conveyancing, rights of audience, to stop similar statutory landmines from exploding. The ultimate lesson from Mazur? Passive, publish and pray regulation is dead. The profession cannot afford regulators who hide behind static guidance, go silent during crises, or point fingers after the fact. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on all of this. Drop a comment below and share them. As ever, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe.